Thanks, John. Thanks, everyone, for coming. As you know, this is our 20th annual Virginia Film Festival, and I'm just going to begin by talking about that for a second. What we really want to do is celebrate the 20th, and for opening night, which I'm going to begin by talking about, I'm very pleased to say that we have arranged kind of a family reunion. We're bringing back the director who was major director who was honored at the 1989 Virginia Film Festival, the second Virginia Film Festival, with a Distinguished Filmmaker Award. And, of course, since then has gone on to continue to become a more and more important American film director. John Sayles will be coming, and this is particularly appropriate for the Kinflix theme this year, with his longtime producer and lifetime partner, Maggie Renzi. They're going to be presenting their newest film, Honey Dripper, which stars Danny Glover and Keb Moe. It's about the development of rock and roll out of the blues. That's going to be here at the Paramount Theater on opening night, November 1st, and we're very pleased about that. I also want to say that the opening night gala party, which will follow, is going to be in a new place this year. It's going to be in the new Transit Center on the downtown mall. We've been invited there, and I'm very grateful to the CACVB, which honored the festival and me earlier this year for what we've done for tourism in the area and for projecting Charlottesville out to the world. And I'm still glowing from that, so thank you, the CACVB. By featuring John Sayles and Maggie Renzi, as we're doing on our opening night, we are really, really setting the groundwork for what this film festival is about this year. As you know, last year was really about the actors, with Morgan Freeman and Robert Duvall and Liev Schreiber and January Jones. This year, the filmmakers are the stars. We're creating a new program, something we've never done before. It's called the Focus On series. And what we've done is we have picked seven major filmmakers, most of whom have put family issues at the heart of their work. Now, let me just mention before I tell you who they are, that there was a particular reason for this. You know, I have a blog, a programmer's blog, that where I solicit suggestions from the community. And this theme, Kinflix, solicited more incredible suggestions than I could believe. And it is such a rich theme. The family dynamics is represented on film. And there was no way to do justice to it. So really what seemed the best thing to do was to pick a few important directors who are really key in the exploration of different meanings and representations of family, and focus on their work intensively, if we could get them here. And virtually everybody we invited agreed to come. And so we're going to be showing multiple works by each of these directors. The first one is Tamara Jenkins. Tamara Jenkins was the director of Slums of Beverly Hills, an autobiographical film about her own family upbringing. It was a comedy. It really, as is the nature of her work, it really told the truth. You have just painful familiarity as you see the film about what growing up is like. At the same time, brilliantly written. She is also going to be showing a short film of hers that I love called Family Remains on that program. But her nighttime program, I'm pleased to say, is going to be her latest film, a film that has really at film festivals in Toronto and New York, been getting acclaim, and it is certain to be an Oscar contender in the course of the year. It's called The Savages, and it stars Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's about a brother and a sister who are have a father who is pretty hateful, and yet they have to come to his aid in his dying months. And the film, as I said, it is a comedy, and yet it's dark and it's truthful, and just blew me away. And I think it will do the same for you. The second director we're honoring is Charles Burnett. Charles Burnett is, many people consider, the leading African-American film director, along with Spike Lee in the United States, but this has been his year. His film from the late 70s, Killer of Sheep, was actually named in the first group of films that the National Film Registry is one of the greatest American films ever made when they first started doing this in the Library of Congress. But it's been buried because it is filled with such incredible music, that really the history of African-American music, that to get the copyright for all these songs approved, it took these many years for Milestone Films. It got re-released this year and made it to all these 10 best lists. He will be coming, Charles Burnett, to show the film here, Killer of Sheep, as well as his second film, another film that he has actually has not been shown very much, and it's called, appropriately enough for the theme, My Brother's Wedding. And he is going. That is opening in New York in mid-October. We're going to show it, and he's going to present it here. The next two filmmakers are probably the leading experimental filmmakers, two of the most important experimental filmmakers in the U.S., independents, Alan Berliner and Sue Friedrich. Both of what they do is to really use home movies. Again, they are autobiographical in their films, but what they do is they appropriate home movies and other found footage, and they tell the story about their own families, but also the larger story about the American family. Alan Berliner's family album, for example, stitches together hundreds of home movies that have been found to really create a composite portrait of the American family. Mackie Alston, our next Focus On filmmaker, really made his name with a film called Family Name that he's going to be bringing here, that is really about the racial and sexual secrets of the American South. He goes back to North Carolina and he investigates both the African-American and white lineages of his own family name, Alston. This year, he made a film which was a big sensation at the Silver Docks Film Festival where I saw it. And this film, which I'm going to go check the name about, is a film called The Killer Within. What's striking about this film is it's about a man who reveals to his family, to his grown children, a secret that he had kept, that when he was in college, he had gone on a shooting spree in his dormitory, had actually been imprisoned for this. He was released from prison after several years and has in the film you see, became an upstanding citizen and raised his family, but the film does not take an uncritical look at this man and his past. At this screening, we've invited Randy Stith, who is from Virginia Tech. He is a film teacher there. He's come every year. He's coming back this year, and obviously we're going to discuss the film in that context. Mackie Alston is going to be showing a third film of his called The Hard Road Home. He's been extremely prolific lately. That's another new film that is about the Exodus transitional community, about ex-cons helping each other to transition out of jail, and it tells an incredibly powerful dramatic narrative. Jane Galluli, our seventh of our seven filmmaker guests, made the film Leona's Sister Jerry, about really the background of the photo of an abortion that galvanized the pro-choice movement. That's called Leona's Sister Jerry, and a new film that we're going to get to show ahead of everyone else. We're showing it in its almost final state, and it's going to be going on to film festivals, I expect, over the next year, called Today the Hawk Takes One Chick, which is about African grandmothers who are called go-gos, who become increasingly important in sustaining African families in the age of AIDS as a whole generation has been devastated. This is a beautiful and incredibly powerful film. Finally, the last film is the filmmaker we're doing a focus on is something I'm very excited to bring, and that is Nick Broomfield. Nick Broomfield, many of you know, is associated. He has been associated with several films about a family, probably the most famous being Kurt and Courtney, about that happy marriage, Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love. But he is going to come. What's so interesting is he's, you know, very, very well known from Biggie and Tupac, another one of his films, for his kind of in-your-face documentary style. He puts himself in the picture and really pushes his subjects to the breaking point, and he's kind of a character in his own films. What's so exciting, and I met Nick in Toronto, one of the last guests that at the film festival a few weeks ago, I invited and was so excited that he's available. He's taken a new turn in his work to making docudramas or kind of verite fictions, where what he's doing is he's telling stories about real-life events and occurrences and casting non-actors, people who have experienced those occurrences, and making these new fictions. And his latest one, The Battle for Haditha, won the Best Director Award at the San Sebastian Film Festival. He is going to do what that film is about. It was an atrocity in Iraq that involved American soldiers. What he has done is he's cast American soldiers as well as Iraqi citizens, again, all non-actors, in this film. He's going to be doing a presentation here called Making the Battle for Haditha, where he's going to show sections of the film. The film may not be ready for full release. He's going to show extended sections of the film and talk about the background of his making that film. He's also going to show on opening night his prior film, again, another director who has become extremely prolific, called Ghosts, which is about Chinese immigrant laborers in England and a tragedy that happened in Morecambe Bay in England a few years ago when many of them were killed. What it's really about is you find out about how it's really on behalf of their families that they emigrated to England for work and for survival. He will present that as well. So that's our focus on filmmakers. And as I've been saying, this year, the filmmakers are the stars. And I'm very excited about this lineup. And that will tell me something else I'm very excited about, which is the quality of the films this year. I think this is the strongest lineup we've ever gathered. And I don't want to just say that really it's because we're so good at collecting films. This just happens to be an extraordinary year. Everybody in the film world knows this. It really started at Cannes in May when people came out of that, you know, their eyes wide open. They could not believe how good the movies are this year. It went on to New York and Toronto. It's a kind of a blip that's moving through. And now the films are coming here ahead of when they're going to be released theatrically. And people are going to see really the films that are going to be the big Oscar contenders over the next year. And we've got most of them. And I think, too, it's because it's our 20th anniversary and the major distributors, a lot of whom have given us sometimes in the past, other times not, but Sony Classics and Fox Searchlight have given us really the cream of their crop for this film festival. First, I'll just mention The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, just a knockout of a film made by Julian Schnabel, the former painter, but now this is his third film. He made Basquiat and Before Night Falls. His third film, which is about Jean-Marie Bauby, a real story about a guy who had the editor of Elle had a stroke and ended up writing his autobiography with the one eye that blinks that remained operable. An incredible story. It's also about the support of his family. A very powerful film that I can't recommend enough. Before the Devil Knows You're Dead is Sidney Lumet's film. And Sidney Lumet, one of the great American film directors, has really returned to form with this film. It stars Philip Seymour Hoffman again and Ethan Hawke. They play two brothers who decide to rob their parents' jewelry store. Randy and the Mob. Randy and the Mob is a film that's a southern comedy, kind of a good old boy comedy, about two warring brothers. Both are played by Ray McKinnon, who will be coming with the actress who plays the wife of one of his characters. She is, in fact, the wife of Ray McKinnon. They, by the way, are it's another reunion for us because they have been here several times with their earlier film, including their first film, The Accountant, which won Best Short Film at the Academy Awards. They came back with Crystal. They're here again, and they're going to be at the Paramount with Randy and the Mob. Say, one of these two brothers, one is a kind of a restless good old boy character. The other is a much better adjusted guy who happens to be in a gay marriage. I mean, it's not what you'd expect in a Southern slapstick comedy that in many ways echoes Smokey and the Bandit. And in fact, there is a kind of homage to Smokey and the Bandit in this film in that Burt Reynolds comes in and makes a cameo appearance. Ray McKinnon is kind of a voice of the New South. And with this film, I think he's challenging the exclusionary definition of family. And I should say that this was really one of the things that was an impetus for the theme this year, which was the passage of the marriage amendment last year, just after the film festival, that enforced a strict legal definition of what a family is. 58% of voters around the state supported it, although 80% of Charlottesville voted differently. I should say that the law and the legislature is a realm of certainty in Virginia, particularly, about what constitutes a family. But film and culture, I think, is a realm of uncertainty, where questions are asked, you know, what is a family? And alternative families are presented, military units, buddies in buddy films, and as you'll see in Randy and the Mob, in many great films. Families are said to be a haven in a heartless world, but movies frequently ask, are families truly a haven and refuge from society and conflict? There's the consequences of divorce, which is just a real experience for so many people in the audience of films that movies help people deal with. There's violence within families. There are, of course, great dysfunctional families in films. The Royal Tenenbaum, Little Miss Sunshine, Mommy Dearest, which happens to be in our program. There are family members who are different and unconventional. And we know that in families they can be persecuted for that. One of the films in the program that was one of the earliest films that I selected, and I'm pleased accepted, is a film called For the Bible Tells Me So, which was at the Sundance Film Festival, made a great sensation last January there. And it's about families, many of whom are really heroic. This is, by the way, I think a transitional film from last year's Revelations theme to this year's Kinflicks theme. It's about these families who are all very religious, who have to cope in different ways with the coming out of their children. There are some families in there, including the family of Richard Gephardt, which Dick Gephardt, of course, completely embraced this, involved his lesbian daughter in his presidential campaign in a big way. There are also other families that had a very, very hard time with this. It really explores the whole variety. But anyway, in general, I think many great films often question the cultural norms and conventional ideals of family life. They suggest alternative configurations of family. They question the family's ability to be a refuge from society and conflict, and that's many of the films that were selected. That was one of the motivations for choosing Kinflicks as a theme this year. The other motivation, the second major motivation, was something that I thought and I've heard from other people and really want to completely own up to, which is a certain deficiency of the film festival in its first 20 years. And that's been in our way we've appealed to families and kids. And we've decided to really tackle that this year. And we've created something new, especially with the help of the Discovery Museum, and I want to particularly thank Pepe Linden, who's been working on this with me all year. We've created a family day that I believe is going to become an annual part of the Virginia Film Festival. There are going to be events all day Saturday, November 3rd, including free admission to the Discovery Museum with film-related events. There are going to be free films at City Council chambers for kids. There's going to be a mural contest on the First Amendment Monument. Lighthouse, the Media Access Center for High School Students, is going to be making a film with kids during the day. This is going to culminate. Actually, the major event of the day will be at 1 p.m. at the Paramount Theater, where we're showing the great silent film, Peter Pan, from 1924, with live musical accompaniment. We're bringing back our great silent film accompanists, Donald Sosen and Joanna Seaton. But adding to them, Paul Reisler and Terry Allard from Kid Pan Alley, who are working this month, October, with Albemarle School Kids, a program they call Kid Pan Alley, and they are writing songs for this event. And this Charlottesville Children's Chorus is going to perform live with Peter Pan at the Paramount Theater. Almost wrapping up now, just to mention that, pleased that the film festival, that this musical event is really just one of several. The film festival has increasingly become more and more of a multi-arts event. We have another film with silent film accompaniment that's going to be Charlie Chaplin's The Kid, and it's going to be accompanied by Matt Marshall. And he'll be returning to the Scottsville Victory Theater, which has been a partner of ours for the last 4 years. A musical event I'm particularly excited about. This filmmaker, for me, was the discovery of the year, is an animator named Brent Green. And what Brent does is he's an extremely talented animator and visual artist, but he performs his soundtracks live. That is, he narrates, shouts, and sings his soundtracks while he performs. He's going to be accompanied by two of the leading indie musicians. He has a big following in the indie music world. Coming here is Hal Gelb of Giant Sand and Brendan Canty of the band Fugazi to accompany Brent Green. And this is going to be at the Gravity Lounge on Friday night of the film festival. Finally, as you know, the Virginia Film Festival's host institution is the University of Virginia, and we develop many educational programs in coordination with the film festival. I'm pleased to say that the Adrenaline Film Project will be coming back for the fourth year. That'll be with Jeff Wadlow and Bo Bauman, once again working with 30 filmmakers who are going to get together the night before the film festival and turn in their films. The last day of the film festival will show at Newcomb Hall Theater. For the second year, Harry Chotiner will be returning with Behind the Scenes, a festival symposium where 20 students from UVA and from the community, it's open to the public, and applications are online right now at our website, is going to bring in guest filmmakers from the film festival to talk to this group, and there will be free tickets to particular programs. It's a way to navigate through the film festival with a brilliant leader, Harry Chotiner, who's a former film executive and a teacher of film at NYU. We're bringing back the Regal shot-by-shot workshops. This year, we've decided for one of them, and again, in honor of our 20th anniversary, we're bringing Walter Corti, who has taught film at UVA since the 70s, He was one of the founders of the Virginia Film Festival and had been a great advisor to me. He is going to be we're going to be showing two films by Luchino Visconti, Sandra and Rocco and His Brothers, and Walter is going to do the shot-by-shot on that. The second one will be Stuart Stern, the screenwriter of Rebel Without a Cause, who will be discussing Rebel Without a Cause in depth. I'll also mention that Stuart Stern is the nephew of Adolf Zukor, the founder of Paramount Pictures, which many of you may know was the original owner of the Paramount Theater and other Paramount Theaters around the country. And Stuart Stern will be on the stage of the Paramount Theater, appropriately enough, to introduce Peter Pan, which was produced by his uncle, Adolf Zukor. Other educational events, two others just I'll mention, are a program called Mining the Home Movie, where the leading scholar, American scholar, on the home movie, Patty Zimmerman, who has a new book coming out called Mining the Home Movie, will be coming, as well as the archivist from the Smithsonian Museum. the Human Studies Center, Pam Wintle, will be coming, and they're going to be showing some archived home movies. And again, this is probably the most disparaged cultural form, but we're going to prove differently. We're going to show one film this year called Think of Me First as a Person. And this is the last film I'll mention at this press conference. This film is the first home movie admitted to that same National Film Registry that included Charles Burnett's A Killer of Sheep at its first section. This was in the latest batch of 25 films. This film, which was discovered, which is about a father documenting his disabled child's life, was actually filmed in Virginia. We are going to show that film as part of that panel. Okay, that's my introduction, and again, it's a very dense program. I urge you to read the press release, also to go to the website at vafilm.com, where we try to help you navigate through it, and I'll also say we're not done with all our announcements yet. Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, well, I'm available for any interviews today or later. Again, thank you for coming.
Oh, I'm sorry.
John's just reminding me about something that I had left out. I'd switch the order. I just want to bring out one more thing, which is something that is our Friday night film at the film festival. What happened was I was talking about the major films this year that are dramatic features, and I meant to go on and talk about documentaries, which for the last few years have been probably the most vital area of filmmaking, and our program has reflected that. At the Tribeca Film Festival, I saw a film that got an explosive response from the audience. People just exploded out of their seats at the end of this movie. It was produced by a UVA alum whose name is Perrin Chiles, and it is a film called Autism the Musical. The film Autism the Musical is really about a parent of an autistic child who tries to really defy really what the nature of autism is, which is incommunicability or the difficulty of communicating, and create a theater production with autistic kids. This is a film that really explores, in a way, this is not a mawkish or sentimental film. It's a film that really makes you see the difficulties of raising autistic kids, of being autistic, but you see the small triumphs, so that it is an incredibly inspirational movie. And I'm very happy that the Virginia Institute for Autism is joining us, showing here Friday night at the Paramount Theater at 7 p.m. For the Virginia premiere of Autism the Musical, which is going to be an HBO Films release. Okay, that was my final one. I'm sorry. Thank you.